Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are the one who alone holds the power to redeem our lives, to set us on a path that points to you, leads to you, follows you, Lord, that leads to that kind of deep and abiding joy. Lord, your word says that in your presence is fullness of joy. And so, Lord, we know that your word also says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're right there with us. So, Lord, we're positioned this morning to receive joy and to be in the midst of joy. Some of us have come out of a week that joy is not maybe what we tasted fully. But I pray that during our time together today, that we'd taste and see that you're good, that we'd be reminded of your joy and your grace and your mercy, the fullness that comes from a father who loves his kids. And so, Lord, would you help turn our minds and our hearts to you and to your word and speak to us right where we live, that we may live for your glory and for our benefit as we follow you. We pray this in your strong and powerful and forgiving and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm sure glad that you're here today. This morning, we are starting a new series, a new sermon series that I really do believe is one of the most important series that we will do all year long. We call this series The Green Elephant. Have you ever heard the phrase, there's an elephant in the room? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that phrase before. There's an elephant in the room. Yeah, that phrase, you're going, ah, man, I'm not from around here. What does that mean? There's an elephant in the room. That phrase just means that there's an issue that everybody is aware of, but nobody really wants to talk about it. And so the phrase, there's an elephant in the room, just means, man, we all know it's present. We all know that there's a subject that's kind of looming over us, but nobody wants to acknowledge it. Nobody wants to name it. Nobody wants to discuss it, because to do so would be kind of uncomfortable. And so in this series, The Green Elephant, we're going to talk about an elephant that is in our room. Our room is a church. Our room's in our homes and with our families, with our roommates. And the elephant that is in the room is money. That is the elephant in the room. Nobody really wants to talk about money, but every single one of us deals with money every single day of our life. That is just an issue that's in all of our lives, from how much do we owe to how are we going to spend what we do have? How are we going to save some of it? Did you know that more fights happen in marriages around the subject of money than any other subject? And some of you are going, yeah, I'm not going to be too demonstrative there because it's Sunday and it's church and we've got to look pretty and perfect. No, you don't. Just relax. Take a deep breath. We're all in this thing together. You've got the same kind of money squabbles as our family has. And so just relax. It's the elephant in the room, but we're going to name it today, and we're calling it the green elephant because money is what color? It is? It's green. So that's our green elephant. Money. Money, money, money is the green elephant in the room. Kids, draw me a picture this morning. What do you think it looks like for a green elephant to be in your room, in your home? Draw a picture of your family with a green elephant or a big elephant in your room, in your home. Draw me a picture. Put it on my board this morning out in the Home Life Center. I want to see what you think that green elephant looks like in your room. Money, money. That's the green elephant in the room that we don't really want to talk about. And yet Jesus says this in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Think about that. Simply put, unless you put your money in the right place, unless you invest it in the right place, unless you spend it correctly, and yes, unless you give it generously, God never will have your undivided heart. Think about that. Think about that. He never will have your full devotion. I mean, no wonder it's been said that God speaks more about money in the Bible than he does heaven and hell combined. And I know right now what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, great, a sermon on giving to the church. Oh no, if that's all you're hearing, then you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. I mean, sure, tithing is a part of that green elephant, but there's so much more that we need to talk about when it comes to this green elephant. We need to talk about, we need to look together at what God has to say about debt, about living within our means, about being a generous people. Sure, money matters are certainly, if we're looking in Scripture, which we are, that's going to include a conversation about tithing, but it goes well beyond that into all of our everyday lives, and all of our lives link back to where? What did Jesus say? It links back to our heart. Your money and your heart, your treasure and your heart are linked. And so this morning as we start this series, I invite you to take your Bible, as I do every single week, and open it. And this morning we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Proverbs 6 is going to be on page 530. If you don't have a Bible of your own, come see me in the Home Life Center when we finish this morning. I'll give you a brand new Bible. We want everybody to have a Bible. We're in Proverbs 6. And Proverbs is this book of ancient wisdom which remains today incredibly relevant for our lives. And so in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, God gives his people, gives us some counsel that wise people will cling to and only foolish people would disregard. So let's read God's word together. Proverbs chapter 6 will begin in verse 1, and it says this: "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler." It's the word of the Lord. Okay. Look with me, and let's walk back through these verses together. Let's walk back through this little passage, and let's begin to see what the writer of Proverbs is saying to us this morning. Look back in verse 1. He says this: "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger." Do you notice how he starts that verse? "My son." My son. God is clearly giving and telling us counsel. He's giving it to someone who's beloved, who's near and dear to him. This counsel is given to one whom the speaker holds in high regard. This counsel is given to one in whom the speaker wants the very, very best. This is the advice from a father to a child, a son, a daughter, family member. So when God speaks to you, speaks to me, speaks to us about money matters, it's because, man, God holds you, holds me, holds us in the highest regard as family. It's because he looks at you as his child. It's because he wants to protect you, as any good dad would, from harm. It's because he wants the very best for you and for me. Now, when God's financial direction involves things like paying off our debt, living within our means, giving the tithe, becoming generous in our lives towards others, even when we're receiving that kind of instruction and when we're acting on that instruction, it may feel at times or taste at times like, man, we're just having to take our medicine today because it's good for us. But please remember, this isn't coming from a greedy old king. This is coming from our dad, who wants the very best for his kids. That's who this counsel is coming from. This is coming from a dad who sees you as the apple of his eye. Bottom line, when we heed the counsel from our Heavenly Father about money matters, and we do what it says, we've just positioned ourselves as His kids to receive blessing and goodness in a way that we couldn't otherwise. If we choose just to ignore what our dad is telling us, it's as if we're inviting financial ruin into our lives, because he's our dad and he knows what we need. Look with me again at another word in verse 1. It says, my son, if you put up, what's that next word? Security. In the day that Proverbs was written, just as in our day today, when someone loaned money, they demanded some kind of security, also known as collateral. That, think collateral when it talks about security here. In this case, the collateral was the promise of a friend to pay off the debt should it be defaulted upon by the original borrower. No doubt that the son assumed that pledging to be security for his friend, no big deal, that's fine, just give us the money. But the father's sitting there looking at that going, that's not wise. That's not smart. The father is dispensing the advice and he's chastising his son for taking on somebody else's debt. That's the bottom line, right? I mean, even though the son was not the recipient of the note, he still was taking on the debt. He still was taking on the responsibility to pay back the loan. He was co-signing the note, which is very dangerous to do. Foolish, according to what God's word is saying here. Why? Because it makes you responsible for somebody else's debt. Plain and simple, this is a warning from God about taking on debt. It's not so much speaking, please hear me on this. It's not so much speaking about whether or not taking on debt is a sin. It's speaking about whether or not it's wise. There's a difference there. And by the way, this son's debt is really no different than the debt that we may take on for a car loan or for a balance on our credit card or the loan that we decided we'd take out for that new bedroom suite because we just had to have it. You know, taking on debt for things that depreciate in value. Verse 1 goes on to talk about it. It says, when you have given your pledge, when you've given your pledge. This is talking about easy credit. It's talking about easy money. In that day, a person could just borrow money with a handshake. I mean, this whole idea of being able to get easy money just on a handshake and the possibility that such indebtedness actually would lead or could lead someone to slavery, that's crazy, right? I mean, no lender, wink, wink, no lender would be foolish enough to extend that kind of credit to somebody today, right?
I mean, no mortgage company would lend you more money for more house that you could really pay for, right? Wink, wink. I mean, no credit card company would be foolish enough to send a college student a credit card application because, I mean, they're in college where they're doing college and they don't have a job so they can, I mean, no credit card company would just say, just sign here and we'll give you a credit card. That'd be foolish for a credit card company to do that, right? Wink, wink. And no lender would offer to extend such easy credit simply by a handshake or just by someone signing up when they go to a ball game because you get a t-shirt. And while we're at it, let's just go ahead and declare up front that, I mean, we would never be so foolish to actually fall for the promises of easy money with stuff like nothing down, no interest for a year, no payments for 6 months, cash back now. Busted. Nothing much has changed in 3,000 years since this was written, right? Yeah, I mean, it's where we live. It's so relevant for our lives. Have you ever heard someone say, there's just too much month at the end of my money? Yeah, maybe you've heard this. My paycheck is spent before I even deposit it. You're going, yeah, man, I kind of feel like that. Those are words spoken by people who may have been snared by easy money. Do you feel snared? Do you feel trapped? Do you feel caught? Because you are. Look with me again at verse 2. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just preaching God's word. Proverbs 6:2, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth. Let's just look at those two words, snared and caught from Proverbs 6:2. Here's the really scary part. Here's the thing that no doubt had this father concerned for his son who's about to take on this debt, is that a failure in that day to pay one's debt ultimately could be led to that son being sold into slavery. I mean, talk about being caught and snared. In that day, you couldn't just claim bankruptcy, force field, give me 7 years and I'll be back at it again. Couldn't do it then. No, to pay your debt, your assets would be liquidated immediately, no doubt. But even after your assets were liquidated, you still had one very important commodity that could be sold. You know what that was? Yourself. Yourself. Imagine that. In that day, debt led to slavery. That's the real problem with easy money, with debt, with borrowing so that you can live beyond your means today. How foolish we are. We're just snaring and catching ourselves in a future where we will be forced to live below our means simply so we can pay back a season when we've lived beyond our means and have amassed debt to do so. Is that wise or foolish? That's foolish. And isn't it so clearly seen in somebody else's life? It's like, well, yeah, but yeah, it's so clearly seen in others. We all see the deficit spending in Washington, yes? Yes. We see how they're just throwing billions of dollars like it's confetti and have for decades. Just throwing money. We see our country living beyond its means, and those who pay attention to such things recognize that we simply are snaring and we are catching our kids and destining them to a future where they will be forced to live below their means in order to pay back the debt that we all have amassed for them. Did you know That for the first time in American history, the generation that's coming up does not really expect to have a more prosperous life than their parents. And the simple truth is this: debt ensnares and catches you. Interest payments snare and catch you. Late fees snare and catch you. Making minimum payments on your credit card snare and catch you. Making any payment short of paying off the full balance every month on your credit card snares and catches you. And it goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 3, "Then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor." I love how that verse starts out. Then do this. Then do this. If your heart's beating fast, if you're kind of beating up some sweat here, if you're kind of smiling at me with a plastic smile going, "Yeah, oh my goodness, I'm snared." Then do this. Then do this. Don't you love it when God just speaks clearly? If this is how you feel, then do what? This. God's speaking to all of the people who've been duped by the allure of easy money. He's speaking to those who've fallen victim to the debt trap. He's speaking to you if you feel like you're drowning in debt. And he's laying out a very clear strategy for you and me to move forward. He's saying, do this. This is financial advice from God. And by the way, it's not intended to be a suggestion. It is written to be a command. Look in verse 4. "Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber." So the first thing to do, if you've been trapped by the allure of easy money, the first thing to do, if you feel like you're drowning in debt, the first thing to do, if you're recognizing, "Yeah, I'm living well beyond my means, and I've been doing that in the past, and now I'm facing a future where I'm going to need to live below my means just to pay off my debt," the very first thing God says to do is recognize the urgency of your situation. He say, "Don't put off dealing with it anymore. Don't just go back to sleep and assume that everything's going to be okay in the morning. Don't ignore it. Don't put your debt out of your mind." A person who's drowning in debt doesn't have time to go by Starbucks and get a caramel frappuccino and talk with their friends about if it's going to be Dak or Romo who gives the Cowboys the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Although that's a great conversation to have, Dak. No, if you're drowning in debt, you probably need to take the second job working at Starbucks for a season. Why? Because debt is an urgent issue according to God. It's the time right now to deal with your debt. Today is the best day to start making a plan for breaking free from the debt that snares and has trapped you. And part of the plan is right there in black and white in verse 5. Look what it says. "Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of a fowler." Don't overlook that really important imagery there in verse 5. The word gazelle. Gazelle. Dave Ramsey, you know, the guy who speaks on money matters all over the world. He's syndicated on radio. The guy who wrote Financial Peace University. A committed follower of Jesus. A huge asset to the church and the kingdom of God. Dave Ramsey speaks on this issue of freeing yourself from your debt. Like a gazelle frees itself from a hunter way better than I can. Actually, in just a few moments, I'm going to just let Dave Ramsey talk to us, not in person, but on the video screen, about what it means to live with gazelle intensity as a strategy to get beyond our debt. But let me just say this. God's financial advice, his command to us concerning our debt, cannot be any clearer. He's saying, when it comes to debt, run like a gazelle. Run like a gazelle. Now, that doesn't mean walking away from your debt and just filing bankruptcy. It means you've got to come up with a game plan. I've got to come up with a game plan. We've got to come up with a game plan for paying off what we owe ASAP as soon as possible. And it means when it comes to taking on more debt, when we have that opportunity, we run from that, not toward that. That's what God's Word is teaching us. Do you know people? Do you know people like that? Where, the debt just piles up in the mailbox. And then they when they get the mail, and it's like, oh, there's more debt. Well, here's my drawer, and I'll just push that over there. I'll deal with that later. I could go watch some TV. Premium package. Premium package. Man, that gazelle doesn't do that. When that cheetah jumps out, gone. A gazelle's not, you don't see that gazelle turning around, standing to fight and square off, going, make myself big. No. He doesn't pretend like he's a mama grizzly bear, assuming that he can fend off the hunter, overpower the enemy. Do you know people like that? Well, you don't know me and my discipline. I can do this. I can take on more and I'll be okay because I have a plan. Now, a gazelle, if you want to do what God says, he says, run. Get as far away from the danger as fast as you possibly can. And if you're not currently in debt, if you're sitting there going, man, I don't have any debt right now. Awesome. Do you know where you live? Or at least where you reside right now? You live in America, the land of the free. But it ain't free to live here. It's the land of opportunity. And what you have is the opportunity every day of your life to wander into debt. As we'll hear Dave Ramsey say in just a second, you can wander into debt, but you can't wander out. And that's God's counsel for us, his basic financial advice, his command to us concerning the debt in our lives. Recognize the urgency of your situation. That's Proverbs 6:4. Give your eyes no sleep, your eyelids no sleep. Slumber, and then run away from debt as fast as you possibly can, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Again, Dave Ramsey, a guy who just has a lot of wisdom, speaking clearly and passionately about these kinds of money matters, speaks so effectively to this subject of debt. I want you to hear what he has to say. I want you just to sit back for 11 minutes and 21 seconds. You're going to see a portion of his Financial Peace University study where there's people there. They're going to be applauding and clapping. So if you feel like you need to applaud and clap to be in the moment, do that. Don't take any notes, because everything that he says about how to retire debt, we've already printed that and made that available right here. There's 5 steps. You're going to hear them right now. So turn your eyes to the screen, and then after 11 minutes, I'll come back and we'll wrap our time up and call it a morning. Watch this.
You get your little spiritual vitamin, right? And if you read Proverbs over and over again and understand it, you'll have a master's degree in finance. It's in there. It's unbelievable. It's the book of wisdom, right? And so I'm reading through Proverbs, and I have Proverbs 6, 1 through 7. And it says, if you've signed surety, my son, do this. Now, that's old English Bible talk for, if you've gotten into debt, here's the plan. Now, I had a spiritual experience with God a few years ago. I discovered God is smarter than me. And so when I see a formula like that pop up in front of me, my ears perk up. If you've gotten into debt, do this. And I'm like, oh, here it is. Here's the biblical answer for how to get out of debt. Wow, I'm ready. It says, give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, some of you are very reverent in your interaction with God, and he tolerates me. It's called grace. And so I'm sitting there reading this, and I'm like, you were going to tell me like how to get out of debt and how to get people out of debt, and you give me animal metaphors. What am I supposed to do with gazelles and birds? Really? Come on. Nothing. Crickets. Can't hear a thing, right? So that night he answered my prayer. I was scanning the channels, and I hit the Discovery Channel, and there were the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. And I'm like, hey, I was just reading about you guys. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. This is how you get out of debt. I thought, that's pretty cool. And you know the Discovery Channel was not there if the gazelles were there by themselves, don't you? You know someone else was there looking for lunch in all the right places, don't you? You know? And the gazelles, I don't know if you know this, they have a cheetah detector behind their ear, and they go, cheetah! Because the gazelles know that they cannot outrun the cheetah. The cheetah is the fastest mammal on dry land. He can go from 0 to 47 miles an hour in 4 leaps. The gazelle cannot outrun the cheetah. And we had to slow this down so I'd have time to talk. This bad cat is seriously fast. And these gazelles, man, they are running for their lives. That's what they're doing. Look, he picked out a college student. Hey, kid. Hey, kid, come here. Hey, kid. Kid, you need to build up your FICO score. Hey, kid, you'll never get a cell phone if you don't have a credit score. Come here. Come here, kid. Come here, kid. I got a free T-shirt for you, kid. Come here. Let me tell you, God says this is how you get out of debt. You got to run for your life. You got to put it in gear. You got to run, 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 run. You got to bust it. You got to bust it. You got to go like your life depends on it. You gotta have gazelle intensity. You gotta put it in gear like you've never put it in gear. You can wander into debt, but you cannot wander out. You gotta have this sense of passion, this sense of attack. Here's an interesting thing. God does not make mistakes with metaphors. As I got to studying this, it's very, very interesting. The cheetah only catches the gazelle, even though the cheetah is faster. He only catches the gazelle 1 out of 19 chases. I got to thinking, I wonder why that is. And then it hit me. Motivation. One guy's trying to have lunch, the other one's trying to stay alive. You got to have this sense of gazelle intensity to get out of debt. When you get that stuff boiling up inside of you, when you have what Les Brown says, he says, when you change your life, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you get disgusted and you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore. This is the last Ramsey in this family tree that's ever going to have one of those collectors call our house unless it's a wrong number. We're done. We're changing this thing. You got to have that sense of power. So gazelle intensity is how you get out of debt. And let me just tell you, the more passionate you become, the deeper you will sacrifice. And the deeper you sacrifice, the more money is freed up, and the faster you'll clean up the mess. And the faster you clean up the mess, the faster you don't have any payments, the faster you build wealth. There's a direct tie, a direct relationship statistically with the level of passion, the depth of the sacrifice, and the results you get in this class and as you live out these God-ordained principles for handling money. It's interesting to me that God puts this much passion into things. He's passionate. They call it the passion, don't they? It's what they call the act on the cross. It's the passion. And yet we all try to sit around and figure out something, oh, I don't know, maybe kind of intellectually. Well, I'd love to tell you this was intellectual and you could sit without any effort and just manipulate some numbers, but you can't. You got to fix you. That's why God's all in this thing. He's all about fixing you. He's all about fixing me. There's a redemption story built into this whole thing. It's not just a redemption of our money. It's a redemption of our whole lives. And that works. It absolutely comes loose. So how do we get out of debt? What are the steps getting out of debt? The first step to get out of debt is stop borrowing more money. You can't get out of a hole while you're digging out the bottom. So you need to have a candlelight dinner, get the kids around, and have a plastic surgery party. We're going to chop them up. Chase this. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Money. Discover. Freedom. Sears. I'll buy your tools at the flea market. James Cashpenny, this is in your honor. Chevron. Don't even like that guy anyway. Oh, Victoria's Secret. They take cash. Home Depot. Oh. They take cash. It's okay. And you chop them up. And you make a ceremony out of it. And then you make stuff out of it and put it on the wall. So your children are reminded that this was the time we changed our family tree. This is how the whole thing shifted. And even if you don't have children yet, someday you'll show them and you'll go, you see those things on the wall? They used to call those credit cards. They were all over our society. Now they're gone. Someday you'll be able to tell that story. Because see, I think the credit card is the cigarette of the financial world. I think it's just a matter of time before people start to wake up and go, this is killing people. We're not doing this anymore. It's coming, people. It's coming. People are starting to see this stuff. And I'll tell you this, as soon as you decide to get out of debt, as soon as you do that stuff, there'll be a test, won't there? The second thing we teach you to do to get out of debt is you have to save money. Remember when we did this in Super Savings, we said baby step one. You remember what baby step one is? Baby step one is? $1,000. So you get that $1,000, because otherwise you chop up all those credit cards and you go out there tonight, your tire will be flat. And you'll be back in here going, where's the crazy glue? You need that little starter emergency fund to catch your slack when you chop these babies up, because you've been leaning on those as your emergency fund. The next thing you got to do to get out of debt is you need to sell something. Sell so much stuff the kids think they're next. Name the dog eBay. Put the cat on Craigslist. Some stuff's got to go. You got enough junk around your house to get you out of debt. Sell stuff. Put everything out there. Move it. Get rid of it. I mean, it's just junk. Get you some more junk later. Clean house. It is time to be debt free. We're being gazelle intense. The next thing you need to do is pick up some extra hours, get an extra job, some overtime. My grandmother used to say there's a great place to go when you're broke. To work. It's a sure-fired money-making scheme, this work thing. Well, I can't find any work to do. A buddy of mine that's a pastor says, he says, go down there to Home Depot and get you one of those things that fits on your back that blows leaves. Because he said, rich people are afraid of leaves. Just go up, they'll say, I got leaves, I got, I'm here to help, right? You can find work in America today. You can make some work to do. Somebody needs their dog walk, bless their heart. And you can find all kinds of things to do on the short term. If you work like no one else, later you get to work like no one else. And so pay a price to win. And the last thing you need to do to get out of debt is you need to remember prayer really works. Prayer really works. Now, here's the way I've got this figured out. I'm no theologian, and this may not doctrinally line up with you, but just bear with a regular guy as he talks about this stuff. As far as I can read in Scripture, my Heavenly Father is absolutely crazy about me. He thinks I'm awesome. Your Heavenly Father is crazy about you. He thinks you are awesome, and He is really rich. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills. Everything's His. Now let me get this straight. You're deeply in debt, your dad loves you, and he's rich. Phone home, E.T. Well, I can't talk to God. He's mad at me. You don't know all the stuff I've done. He's mad at me. He's not mad at you. He misses you. How many of you have had enough kids that you got a stupid one? Just think about your Heavenly Father. He's got to be up there with Gabriel in the morning going, that's going to leave a mark. That one's going to hurt. You know, we laugh, we're made in His image. You know He's got to be up there entertained by some of us. He's not mad at you. You entertain him and he misses you. And his Bible says, his word says, his love letter says, if you phone home with the right attitude, he's going to throw a party and put a gold ring on your finger, a new suit of clothes, and serve filet mignon. It's in there. It's called The Prodigal. Look it up. It's worth reading. So what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to offer Financial Peace University here. That's what we're going to do. In your art, you see that beginning in January the 8th, from 4 to 6 p.m., it's a Sunday, and the 9 Sundays that will follow, 8 Sundays that will follow, Financial Peace University, of which that's part of one of the sessions, will be offered in our fellowship hall. Phil Waltrip. Phil, would you join me up here just for a moment? Phil Waltrip is one of our church members. He's led and facilitated Financial Peace University workshops before. This is Phil. Phil is going to be our point person on that. Phil is actually going to be right out here in the Home Life Center. If you're sitting there going, man, what do I do? I need to take a next step. Come connect with Phil. Just make eye contact. Sometimes having a next step and a handshake and, hey, I'm going to do this. I know you probably need to go have some conversations with your family, maybe a spouse or roommate or whatever you need to do. But this is coming January the 8th, 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays for the 9 Sundays that would follow. And Phil's going to help lead that. Phil, why don't you go ahead and head out into the Home Life Center. He'll be there to connect with you if you want to just have a moment with him. He'll have an email address that's already set up, fpu@arapahoeroad.org. And he'll begin in the following Sundays to talk with you and talk with us about how we can be a part of that, if that's something that you would like to do. To take the class, it costs just under $100. I think it's about $95, $99, something like that. So you've got a little invested in it. But over that time, it will change the way you approach your finances, and it will begin to get you in line with what God has to say through His Word. Some of you may be sitting there going, that's awesome. Why are you telling me about this now? It's October. Because you know what it is about a month from now? Black Friday. And what would it look like if you began to think about how you're going to approach your spending, your giving throughout the coming months? Because what can be devastating is when you open that statement in January and you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? Maybe what you need to do is to give each other Financial Peace University for Christmas. I'm not saying put coal in your stocking and beat yourself around the back with it because you've made bad decisions, but I'm saying go into it with a plan. Maybe for you, you need to do this. And could we, is it possible to get our lights up? We've had gremlins in our lights like crazy over the last couple of weeks, and we're working on that. But at the end of your row, if you're sitting where there's a little sheet like this that says Quick Start Budget, would you just take one and pass it down? This is straight off of Dave Ramsey's website. We want to just be consistent in putting some tools into your hand. If you don't budget or your budgeting is not working, this may be a simple first step for you to have a conversation with your spouse or to have a conversation with your checking account and begin to put on paper, on purpose, the things that are a part of your budget. Because if you're going to be a part of growing a strong family and you miss on this, it's going to affect every other area. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. He said, where your treasure is, your heart's going to be right there too. Your treasure and your heart are linked. And so we would be remiss if we would just show something like this, get you stirred up and go, y'all go try harder. That's called religion. And it doesn't work. You've got to have relationship. That let somebody come alongside you and say, let me help you. And that's what we're doing, is putting something in your hands to go, let's help you. Let's help you have a conversation. Let's help you take some next steps. Let's help you move toward a time frame. And when you start 2017, you know there is a serious commitment to move and change your financial destiny that aligns with what God's Word says, then do this. Then do this, my son, my daughter. If you need some help doing this, I pray the green elephant would help put you on the path toward being who God wants you to be.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.